new CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
What I see is that our starting quarterback that's been out, and he's available this week. That's a good option. What I also saw is what our other quarterback was able to do this week. Of course, I'm not going to, you know, say what our game plan would be. I would say that we have, some good options going into this week. That's what I would say. And we're excited about that. We haven't practiced yet this week, so we can't wait to get on the practice field. We have a good plan as we go in Nebraska this week.
Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast. Jeremy Warner, Illini Inquirer publisher, here with you. Illinois football so far this season has had one of the most unique quarterback situations in the country and possibly in school history. Brandon Peters was the unquestioned starter, understandably, after leading Illinois to its first bowl game in 5 years after transferring from Michigan. But Peters has sat the last 3 weeks after testing positive for COVID-19. Backup Matt Robinson started game two, but left after just one drive due to an ankle injury. With backup Isaiah Williams also out due to contact tracing protocols, four-stringer Caron Taylor played most of the next two games, showing some promise, but also flaws in a 31-24 loss to Purdue, and then struggling mightily in a 41-14 loss to Minnesota. Last week, Williams returned to get his first career start. The former top 200 prospect and the most hyped recruit of the Lovie Smith era made the most of his opportunity, rushing for 192 yards, a program record for an Illini quarterback, and he led Illinois to its first win of the 2020 season, 23-20 at Rutgers. But this week, Peters returns to practice and is available for Saturday's likely must-win game at Nebraska. Lovie Smith and his staff, who are under fire for failing so far to live up to their own increased expectations this year, have a big decision to make. Do they roll with the senior who took them to new heights last year, or do they roll with the freshman who they hope can lead them to higher heights for the long term and potentially jolt an offense that is the second worst in the Big Ten in scoring offense? Today on the Illini Inquirer podcast, we chat with someone who knows a lot about odd quarterback years and the conflicting dynamics that play out in a quarterback room. Riley O'Toole joins us next to discuss that and what he would like to see the Illini staff do with quarterback this week. That's next on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back into the Illini Inquirer podcast, and there's a lot of talk about the Illini quarterbacks this week, so I wanted to talk some quarterbacks here on the podcast, and as I did a few months ago previewing, I have a guy that I can talk to, an expert, and a guy who brings a lot of insight into what it's like to be a Big Ten quarterback, and that's former Illini quarterback Riley O'Toole. Riley, thanks for joining me, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jeremy. Thanks for having me back on. I always enjoy talking Illini football with you guys.
Yeah, well, first of all, it just hasn't gone the way many of us expected. Of course, COVID has impacted this team, but even with that, Riley, the start at Wisconsin, the game against Minnesota being uncompetitive, they get the win at Rutgers. But what are you seeing just as somebody, you know, as a fan now and as somebody who has an interest in this program? What have you thought through 4 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, like everyone, I thought had high expectations. obviously, you go into Wisconsin, the first game of the year, and kind of get blown out a little bit. And then, I mean, in my mind, I chalked it up. Just Wisconsin must just be really good this year. Obviously, that quarterback was highly touted, and I was like, okay, maybe they're the real deal this year. And against Minnesota, and then you kind of, at least for me, it kind of got brought down to a couple notches. And I was just like, wow, maybe we aren't as good as we thought. And then, like you said, obviously there's going with COVID and everything and everyone having to adjust that way. But I've said this before. I mean, everyone's going through that. Everyone's not 100%. So, yeah, you can talk about that a little bit. But at the same time, everyone's in the same boat. And it is disappointing to kind of get blown out, especially in games when you totally stack up from an athletic standpoint and player standpoint. And that's what I was excited about this year, as I didn't think we would be kind of outmanned as much as we have been in the past as far as skill set and depth. And so that's been pretty disappointing. But, yeah, they got to win at Rutgers. And then obviously it wasn't pretty, but hopefully they can stack onto that and get a little taste of winning and they can go forward. But, yeah, it has been a little bit disappointing, but still some ground to make up. And hopefully going into next year, we can get some momentum and some confidence.
Well, Rod Smith said the other day, I've had the pleasure of coaching four different starting quarterbacks this year already in four games, which, of course, was joking. You went through an interesting year that I want to get into, but this has been unlike any other. Brandon, obviously, after the Wisconsin game, which he wasn't that great in, test positive for COVID. You get Caron Taylor. Well, Matt Robinson started game two, gets hurt, and then Caron Taylor plays most of the next two games. Isaiah Williams comes back from contact tracing and has a career, you know, 192 yards in that game. But before I get into that, I want to kind of get into your year where you had a crazy kind of quarterback situation and get into the dynamic of what this is like. So let's dive into that first, the dynamic of a quarterback room, Riley. It's unlike any other position because you spend so much time together. I know you, sure, Nate Shielhouse, Miles Osei, great friends, but there's only one ball. And unlike other positions, usually you don't rotate there. And the quarterback, of course, is the most well-known guy on the team. So what is that dynamic like? It's friendly, it seems like. It's competitive. But yeah. I would imagine there's going to be some jealousy at times too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I sat here and said that there wasn't, even though I was lucky enough to be good friends and always hope for success, but at the same time, you're always like, I feel like I could have done that as well. Or if I just had the opportunity and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it is tough. And like you said, quarterback's a little bit different because only one guy can play at a time most of the time. So it's definitely an interesting dynamic, but I'm just thankful that when I was going through the process that I had everyone in the room was very supportive and at least acted that way. And I never felt anything different. I don't know the guys in the quarterback room very well now, but I mean, you have to, it's kind of bittersweet because you go, I'm sure a lot of those guys came to Illinois because they thought they had a chance to play early. And when that doesn't happen or they bring in a grad transfer, it definitely makes you think like, oh yeah, they brought in a grad transfer because maybe they didn't think I could get it done. Or because I remember when they brought Wes in, I was like, okay, well, next year maybe isn't my year, you know? So definitely a lot of mind games, and it is tough. And Caron, I remember when he went in and I was on Mikey Dudek's podcast just saying how tough that would have been, being a four-string quarterback and not getting any reps and going out there. And I bet all the quarterbacks in the quarterback room were rooting for a guy like that, because I'm sure they know just as much as anyone how tough it is to go out there with a lack of reps. I'm sure he had. And so it's an interesting dynamic. And like I said, I was lucky to have the guys in my room and the quarterback coaches that I had that were great in keeping everyone involved. So weird dynamic, weird situation, especially this year, having four guys go in and out. But I'm very interested to see how they utilize the players going forward.
Riley, I don't think I've ever asked you this, because it wouldn't be fair when you were playing, but you know, when Nate was there, he's the starter, he's the established guy. You knew that kind of coming in, but you kind of waited your turn behind him. You did play as a freshman, so you didn't redshirt. But then they bring in Wes Lunt, and I know the transfer culture isn't what it is now, but did you ever consider transferring?
I did a little bit. I think after that freshman year, because I was so high on Jeff Brom and Petrino, and I love Zook, really, when you go to a team, you're really latching on to your position coach for the most part, just because that's who you're spending the most time with. And freshman year, I mean, they brought me in, and they, like, throughout the recruiting process, like, when they were at Arkansas with Ryan Mallett, obviously that's a tough person to compare to as far as, like, arm strength and all that stuff. But they were showing me kind of what they were doing in Arkansas, more the pro-style offense, and they were just kind of saying they didn't really have someone like that on the roster. So that was kind of a big reason. One, I loved the coaches, and two, I saw kind of what they had in mind as far as an offense going forward. So I was like, okay, I could go in, kind of do what I did in high school with a lot of play action pass and all that stuff. And then we start out 6-0, and of course they're not going to feather in a true freshman quarterback when you're ranked top 15 in the country. So that was just an interesting year. But I thought about it after that year, just because I was pretty bummed about Brom leaving and then Beckman coming in. And but at the same time, I'm glad I didn't. It made me a better person. And I mean, I couldn't imagine leaving those guys on the team. I couldn't have had a better college experience as far as meeting people. But yeah, like you said, when Wes comes in, and I mean, I didn't know Wes, and of course Wes is an extremely quiet guy. So he comes in and he's standing on the side. I'm like, who's this 6'5" guy that just threw for like 600 yards in his second game ever? Yeah. So I was a little nervous, but at the same time, I've been in that position so many times. I was extremely hungry to compete. And when Nate was gone, I was kind of like, well, it's now or never. And of course it didn't work out the way I thought it would, but everything happens for a reason. I still got to play a little bit and get my time in the spotlight, I guess.
Yeah. Not to get sidetracked here, but you know, I talked to Jeff Brom when he was an assistant here for the short time he was, and I was impressed by him. Did you know that he was going to be one of the highest paid coaches by the end of the decade? I mean, did you see that future for him, or why'd you think he was so good?
Yeah, well, of course, when you're 17, 18-year-old, you don't think about them leaving and being a head coach one day. You're just like, wow, I relate really well with this guy. I mean, he's just extremely relatable, and I think anytime you can get someone that played at the highest level at your position and kind of knows what you see out there and what he sees and you know that he's been successful in that position, I think that puts them kind of on a pedestal of playing that position. And then just anytime you talk to him, like I said, he was so relatable, had a great sense of humor, but at the same time, he was like the perfect combination of having a sense of humor, keeping things light, but at the same time, lighting the fire under you and getting you going and making you better, which I really enjoyed. And Cubitt was the same way. I mean, he might have been a little bit harder on me, but I was also a little bit older. So, but I you guys know me well enough to where not super serious 100% of the time, like to have fun. But at the same time, I enjoyed getting coached and getting pushed and being told when things didn't go well or if I didn't make the right read.
Well, let me get back. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so if I could choose a coach, it would be kind of similar to Abraham or Cubitt.
Yeah. Well, let me set this up because I want to get into what the team has now at quarterback and kind of the situation they're in. Because 2014, what an odd year it was at quarterback. And obviously, you played a big role in helping this team get to a bowl game throughout it all. But after that Texas State game, Wes Lunt got hurt. You made the next start. So kind of a situation that Matt Robinson went through or Isaiah Williams goes through. As you're getting ready to start against Nebraska, how does your mindset change in the week leading up knowing you're going to be the starter rather than the backup?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, I mean, it's just much different getting so many reps. It was super fun and great to get all these reps at the same time. They were working Aaron in a lot. So in the back of your mind, I feel like they didn't really, well, because Wes, they didn't necessarily know if he was going to, they were kind of waiting until game time. And then a few days before the game, I think they officially determined that he couldn't make it back. But I remember Wes like suited up for the game, I believe. One thing that I always struggled with, and maybe that's just because I had so many rough moments in my college career, was I always thought it was like, it was just always in the back of my mind that they didn't like commit to a starter. And I totally understand if you don't do that to the media, but even in house, just like, we're going to roll with you. If things don't go well, then we're still going to stick with you type of thing. At least maybe that was just my mental state at the time, but and of course you hear everyone wanted Aaron Bailey to play at that time. He was such a high recruit, so you hear all that noise, of course, and then you go out and kind of lay an egg, and then you're like, I just wasted my perfect opportunity to Tom Brady this whole thing. At least that was my mindset. So it's tough, but I mean, getting all the reps, it made a world of a difference. And I think it's much different going into a game where you're going to play the whole game versus just a few series here and there. And I think that took me a while to get used to that. As you could tell, I was trying to fit the ball into Justin Hardy on the pylon when we're on the 10-yard line, you know?
Yeah. And then Lunt came back for the Purdue game, but he got hurt again. So you play at Wisconsin, but Aaron Bailey gets in for most of the fourth quarter, scores a couple of touchdowns. It's probably something like Matt Robinson has gone through with seeing Isaiah Williams come in and play well. What were your emotions like? You mentioned Aaron, hyped prospects. Everybody kind of wants to see this guy. But there's you who's been there and waited his turn. So what were your emotions like, and what was the coaching staff kind of telling you through that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think I do know – granted, I don't know if this was the reason why I didn't go back in, but I got pretty banged up in the Wisconsin game. I got a hit pointer and sprained my ankle pretty bad. And I remember coming out, I happened on a run in the first half, and then I came out in the second half. I couldn't really throw the ball. And then, of course, we couldn't get anything going. So Aaron goes in and does really well. But I remember Cubitt came to me on the sideline and just said, hey, we just need to get through this game and go into next week. Nothing's changed. We're still, and this was on the sideline, of course, so things probably could have changed, but it definitely made me feel good that he came over and said that to me. But it is tough. I mean, Aaron came in and played great, and I mean, I loved to see that just because I knew that he just wanted to play so badly, and he had a ton of talent. But at the same time, at least relating to Matt Robinson, I bet at some point it comes down to how comfortable you feel with a guy out there. And I think, and I don't want to speak for Isaiah or Aaron, but I know Cubitt had a lot of confidence in me, at least to get in the right play and not be in any bad plays. And I think that may surpass having a ton of talent.
Yeah,
maybe you'd be in a bad play and a great talented player can make it look like a great play, but at the same time, there's so many plays that you call out there as a coordinator that you are anticipating the defense be in, but if they come out and they're not doing that, then a lot of these plays aren't going to work. So having a quarterback that that knows that and could potentially change the play and get into a better one, a lot of times is better to have out there than someone that may not be able to do that as consistently throughout the game. But yeah, I bet the coaches feel super confident in Matt Robinson to run the offense. But when those other guys get their opportunity and you see that they played well, it's kind of tough to keep them off the field when they break records or score three times in one quarter and stuff like that.
Yeah, at some point you got to make plays, right? Your year, of course, those last three games, Riley, you're the guy because Wes wasn't very effective against Penn State. You come in, and the rest is history with those two wins. You get to a bowl game. How did you kind of lock in? This is the end of your career, of course. It's a big opportunity. But how did you do that, and how did Wes handle all of that?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I was extremely fortunate to be around some awesome guys, and when Wes was no different. We just at that point we just wanted to win, and Wes could not have been more supportive. I mean, we throughout the whole year we were always watching film together and telling each other what we might see or just kind of bouncing ideas off each other. And had a great relationship with Ryan and Bill Cubitt. So that was just a really fun year and a great quarterback room, even with Aaron and Chase and Manberg in the quarterback room with us. But I'm you would never say this, but I'm sure it was really tough on him just being banged up. And then you come back and I'm sure it was in the back of his mind that he wasn't 100% healed. And any hit or any time someone falls on his leg, it could be even worse than it was before. So I can't imagine playing something like that. But for me, I think what it just came down to is I stopped making those terrible mistakes. And I think that, of course, when you're not making terrible turnovers, your team's going to do better. But that just kind of continued to give me confidence just because I was playing more. I was playing the whole game or came back and moved the ball against Penn State and took care of the ball, learning how to play for a full game. But I think ultimately I just kind of settled in and got a little bit more comfortable. You can say you played in 40 career games or whatever, 30 career games or whatever it may be, but how many full games did I get to play in? And I think that makes the world of difference, playing a full game versus just a couple series here and there.
So I want to add that discussion just to kind of give some credence to how you know the situation they're kind of going through now or similar situation. Because Brandon's out three games due to COVID protocols. He's coming back. But before we get into what happens this week, first, Caron Taylor got his best opportunity. And there was some promise there. There was also probably some reasons he was the four-string quarterback, Riley. What'd you see from him? Because, at least for him, no matter what, I mean, he got to show people or – if he decides, to stay at Illinois, I think the coaches think a little bit differently of him now, and he could have showcased himself to other schools as well. I don't know, but what did you see from him?
Sure. Yeah. Well, you of course see that he is a Division I talent. Of course, the way he can run around and clearly he can make some throws, but you can. Like the first game when you're not expecting to go in and you're in kind of because of an injury, obviously he was backup at that time, but it's a little bit different coming in when someone's knocked out of the game because your expectations are not very high. It's just go out there, make plays and help us get a win if we can. And then when you have a full week of practice and you're getting all the reps, your mindset does change a little bit. Like, oh, I am a starter. Or your mindset should change that. Every drive doesn't need to be a touchdown. Like, you do have expectations now and being able to fill the ball away or not take a sack or check out of a bad play or stuff like that. So I think you saw that more in his second start to where it was a full game and kind of ran into some issues. I think ultimately you saw that he has the talent, whether he's able to stay, or whatnot, but I mean, he has the ability and if he does decide to leave, hopefully it's a place where he can play a lot and get a little bit more comfortable as a starter.
And then Isaiah Williams comes in. I think people are excited to see what he had, and runs for a school record 192 yards for a quarterback and leads Illinois to its first win. It's at Rutgers, and Rutgers isn't very strong yet, but what'd you think of what Isaiah brought to the field?
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely one of those guys. I was texting some of my Illinois, not teammates, but just good friends of mine that I went to school with there and even high school. I was excited to see him just kind of get a full game, just because the times he's been in, you saw flashes, but it's just little here and there. But I mean, it's tough to not see the talent that he has. I mean, 192 yards in your first career start, regardless of who you're playing. I don't care if it's an FCS school that happens to. I mean, you still got to go out there and make plays, make people miss. But I mean, as everyone saw, just being able to make those drop back passes. Can you make a third and five tough throw in a tight window? I think those are things that he's going to build on. And I mean, he's only going to get better as a passer. He's not going to get worse, hopefully. But the more he works on it and the more experience he gets, I think sky's the limit for him. I mean, he doesn't need any work on his running ability. He just needs to, you know, he doesn't have to be a fantastic thrower. He just has to be serviceable. I mean, Denard Robinson was one of the best players in the Big Ten for his whole career. And he never consistently, I mean, he got better every year throwing the ball, but he was never a drop back passer. I mean, forever there's going to be D coordinators worrying about Isaiah Williams running the ball, and he's going to put an extra guy in the box. So really, he'll probably be throwing to receivers that might be a little bit more open than the windows that Wes Lunt was throwing to, just because they have to respect the run game, which is why the dual threat is so big now, because everyone needs to try and stop the quarterback run, and when they do that, you're losing a defender on the back end, and that opens up for the big plays. So hopefully he continues to get better. And I mean, I think I don't know what they're going to do. I always think that when you say, if you commit to this, I don't know if Lovey has, but like, the quarterback's not going to lose his position to injury or something like that. But in situations like this, it's funny. I'm sure you don't expect the backup to break records like what just happened, you know? Right. So it's, yeah, you could say that all you want, but if someone comes in and runs for almost 200 yards, it's a little bit tougher decision, I would think. So right. I'm interested to see how they go forward.
Yeah, so let's get into that, Riley, because I agree with you. He doesn't have to be a great, you know, passer, right? He's just got to be okay. And if he's okay, right. I mean, we've seen what Khalil Tate and Pat White, who aren't NFL quarterbacks, can do at the college level. And I think we saw what Rod Smith's offense wants to be and is supposed to be, right? I think we saw it with A.J. Bush. It's just, you know, A.J. didn't have a defense with him, and obviously he had too many turnovers. But Brandon is back this week. He's a guy who led you to a bowl game last year. He's obviously a better thrower. We've seen him move a little bit. So after 3 weeks off, do you think he's the best guy to start?
I think that's a tough decision. I mean, I think, in my opinion, I think that they will. Just because, like you said, his experience and what he did last year, I thought he had a pretty good year last year. I mean, it's just a tough situation because on one hand, I feel for Brandon Peters, like, yeah, he had a tough outing, but also Wisconsin's always historically like a top 10 defense in the country. So for us to kind of throw that away after a tough first game and of course, with everything going on, like, you could chalk that up as just nobody really knew if there was going to be a season or not. You don't know how you're going to come out the first Friday night of Big Ten football. So I think they'll go with Brandon Peters but I mean, I think his leash is going to be a heck of a lot shorter than it has been in the past. So, and I'm sure they're going to sprinkle in Isaiah Williams regardless of how well he plays.
I'm in full agreement. I don't know this. This is an inside information. I think they roll with Brandon. And I think he will have a short leash, but I do think they sprinkle in Isaiah like they tried against Wisconsin. But that hasn't been successful, and you saw this, Riley, that when they tried to sprinkle in Aaron Bailey with you guys. That wasn't very successful. What is the upside of potentially doing that, and what are the real challenges of trying to rotate quarterbacks?
Yeah. I'm indifferent about the dual quarterback system. On one hand, I like it because I was that second quarterback for so long, and I was always like, oh, maybe just give me a package here and there. But I think now that I'm out of playing, I'm against it. Just because, so say you got Brandon Peters and he's playing pretty well. And like a lot of times you'll tell, if you have something like this, maybe you'll say, Isaiah, we'll give you the first series of the second quarter, unless we're in the middle of the series. So say you do that and Brandon drives down the field and has a great drive, makes three fantastic throws right before the end of the first quarter, and we go out and take a field goal. But you told the backup quarterback he's going to get that second series of, or the first series of the second quarter. So do you throw in Isaiah out there and kind of stop the momentum that you just built, or do you leave Brandon out there and kind of go against what you promised, essentially the backup quarterback, and he's not going out there that first drive, and so now he's mad. It's just tough. It's a tough balancing act. But then another scenario is maybe Brandon struggles and you take him out. He loses just the feel for the game. You put Isaiah in and you leave him. You let him run with it a little bit, and you give him two or three possessions, and that goes even worse. And then you go back to Brandon, who's been cold for – it's just a tough situation. I mean, that's why head coaches are who they are, to make those decisions. But I always think back to my freshman year. I feel like, especially when we were on the 0-6 run, I feel like I got a little bit more drives. Mm-hmm. And it always felt like I remember at Penn State, they put me in, drove down all the way to the red zone. Then they put Nate in to run kind of the goal line offense. But then they put me in again, and I always felt like they were just putting me in until I made a mistake, which, and I always found a way to do that, which, I mean, I guess that's an argument to not make a stupid turnover. But at the same time, how would Nate feel going back out there after not being told how many series he'd be out, and then Riley throws an intercept. All right, Nate, you're back in. And then Riley doesn't go back in. So it's a tough balancing act. I think I'm opposed to it. But at the same time, it's tough to keep a quarterback that is one for one in career starts on breaking some pretty big school records. So,
well, and just an offensive weapon they don't otherwise have, right? So that's why these coaches are paid the big bucks, is to make these decisions. But let's say, Riley, they do something neither of us expect, which is – go with Isaiah Williams as starting quarterback and commit to him. Brandon wasn't too happy that Isaiah played as much as he did against Wisconsin. I don't think they do that because, you know, Brandon has been their guy. They believe in him. But if they went with Isaiah Williams just as a starter and, hey, it's your game, what do you think the impact of that could be?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of hope that they do that, to be honest. I think in such a weird year where they're probably out of any, well, they're definitely out of any chance to win the Big Ten, most likely. I think you play for the future. Yeah, that's unfortunate for a guy in Brandon's shoes that didn't necessarily do anything like terrible to lose the job, but he didn't play great to keep it. And these coaches are fighting for their jobs now. So that's kind of my hope, is that they go with Isaiah and just let him learn from his mistakes and help him play through it, rather than if he makes a mistake, you yank him out, just because I feel like that does a lot more harm than good, because forever you're playing with that reluctant mentality is, if I can't take this chance because I'll get yanked after that. So yeah, that would stink for Brandon, and I would feel really bad for him, just because I think he's a very talented player and has played some really good football at Illinois. But you brought Isaiah Williams here to kind of turn this thing around at Illinois, and you saw a glimpse of it, and he can clearly get a lot better. And I hope they just give him the keys and help grow with him. So hope that happens. Like you said, I don't think it will, and I don't think Brandon would be happy with it, but deep down, I kind of hope that does happen.
Yeah, I think a lot of Illini fans are with you just because you found something there, right, last game, and I think Nebraska would be more concerned about Isaiah Williams, even if Isaiah, is unproven as a passer. You know, I used to ask Tim Banks, and he never answered me on the record about it. Would you rather play the running quarterback or the pocket passer? And he never wanted to get me on the record, but you could tell it's that guy. And Rod Smith talks about it when you got a guy who's dynamic like Isaiah. It makes a defense corner gasp every time he has the ball. And that's why if they go with Brandon as the starter, Riley, I think they just need to run just like they do with Isaiah almost, because we've seen he can do it, not as well as Isaiah, but I think they need that in their offense, given their passing game, to be successful.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a great point. And like you said, that's Rod's offense. So, let's just commit to it at this point. And I'm sure, maybe Brandon wouldn't like to take so many hits, but I'm sure I would put a lot of money that he'd rather be playing and taking a lot of those hits than not. So, right. And he can do it. Like you said, he's proven that he can get out in open field he's a sneaky athlete. Just let him run the offense and just see what we can go from there. I think that's a great decision or a great idea, and I think that would be smart to do going forward. And I mean, the receivers and the O-line and the running backs, I mean, if they're all running the same offense consistently, it makes a little bit less of a adjustment for everyone else too, if you're kind of running the same thing consistently.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what they do, because they need this Nebraska game, Riley. And this decision, listen, the defense has to do its part of the job, and they've been awful against Nebraska and pretty bad this year. But this is a huge decision, and interesting perspective from you, going with Isaiah Williams most likely. And I totally get it. But I agree with you. I think they're going to roll with Brandon. We'll see how it goes. But these are the tough decisions these coaches got to make, right?
Yeah, I mean, you see, I think this is a perfect example of why coaches get paid the way that they do. But yeah, like I said, I think this Nebraska game, I mean, I think it's winnable. They've lost some bad games or some games that you didn't think that they would to start this year. So you can't help but think that Illinois can go out there and take it from them, and hopefully they come out and at least be in it at the end.
Riley O'Toole, man, always appreciate the insight. This was great.
Thanks, Jeremy. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Great stuff from Riley O'Toole. I think that's the only insight you can get from somebody who's been through some of these situations. And I think he's got an answer that a lot of Illini fans like to hear. He would roll with Isaiah Williams. And I do think that's easier for us to say because, yeah, I think that's more interesting for me. That's more interesting to cover. You get the future of the program. You've seen it give Illinois an offensive identity. While Brandon Peters has had some really good moments here, there's been a lot of inconsistency there as well. And you hate, a guy that could potentially lose a job. I don't know if he will, but to lose a job because of COVID-19, right? And that he didn't get more of a sample size to kind of prove himself here. But this is a huge decision for Lovie Smith and Rod Smith and that entire staff, because if you stick with Brandon and it doesn't work, you tried to go for the short term and give yourself a boost, and it didn't work. But if you go with Isaiah and it doesn't work, it seems like you've moved on to him, right? And that Brandon's opportunity here, he obviously would not be very happy, understandably so. So this is why they get paid big bucks, and this is a huge decision, I think, for the rest of the season, which I think, of course, should have a big impact on their futures here. So going to be interesting to see. We're going to be at Nebraska, and we're all going to be very interested to see who takes those reps. Lovie Smith is not going to give us the answer beforehand, probably until you see it on TV a half hour beforehand or an hour beforehand. But a huge decision for them. And, you know, I don't know. I'm just interested to see how it works because I feel like they might halfway it, and I just don't know if that's the way. I think you got to roll with one guy. I'm a one quarterback guy. I just don't think outside of Tim Tebow, you know, coming in on goal line packages where he's obviously going to be successful because he's so big, I just don't see it really working. You know, Tim Tebow, Chris Leak did it back in the day for you young kids, leading Florida to a championship. But that was a very small package of plays. Tim Tebow came in, and he obviously was a better passer than, say, an Aaron Bailey. But I'm a one quarterback guy, and I think you got to commit to him. And if you want to get Isaiah on the field, put him in at slot receiver. Have him rep there for some plays during the week. Have him rep as the backup. But if you do roll with Brandon, I think you got to roll with your offense. Rod, stick with what you do. And I wrote this piece before the Purdue game that you got to treat your dual threat quarterback like a dual threat quarterback. And Rod reiterated that this week that if he plays Brandon has been successful on the ground. That has been the best thing this offense has done when he's been on the field the last 3-4 games that he's been on the field. You got to let him do it. And I know it opens up for injury, but you've seen now a guy in Isaiah Williams can give you a jolt. So I just wouldn't play scared like that. I think you got to open that up and have, you know, Nebraska have to respect Brandon Peters' legs or Isaiah Williams' legs, because that's going to open up your passing attack if Nebraska brings another guy into the box. So you roll with one guy, but whoever that guy is, Rod, run your offense. Run what you want to do, because Brandon can do it, maybe not as well as Khalil Tate or Denard Robinson or some of those guys, but that dynamic I think should help open up the passing attack, which we know Brandon is a better passer than Isaiah Williams at this point. But either way, I would roll with one guy. All right, if you want to check out the latest, I'll have a big piece on this as well at IlliniInquirer.com. And if you are not a VIP member, now's a great chance to sign up. 50% off a VIP subscription right now at IlliniInquirer.com. It's more than a $50 savings. I think I did the math. It was less than 15 cents a day. So we got our basketball content churning out right now. We got all the football content going into a big game for this program, big game for the quarterback position. So check it out at IlliniInquirer.com. Always appreciate listening to the podcast. Subscribe to us, rate us, review us, wherever you get your podcasts. That always helps us out as well. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.